been several years ago. One of the people who go to our church, a college student, was at OSU in a class on human communication and development. So they said, she came to me and she said, here's my book. I want you to see this. This is what's in our class. Chapter 1, Stages in the Development of Human Communication. The section was called The Beginnings. Isn't that funny? The beginnings. Okay. And according to fossil records painstakingly accumulated by a paleoanthropologist, we find the evolutionary process of mankind goes back to 70 million years. Now, this is the first part of the book. It says there are certain, now listen to this, there are certain that these rat-like creatures are our most remote ancestors. That's how it started off. Then it went and said, it continued in the chapter, that 5.5 million years ago were the first humanoid primate. Then about 2 million years later, they began to use some kind of tools. They were about 3 feet tall. So you thought I was taller. Anyway, they were about 3 feet tall, had long arms, and lived in trees. Now, they said these were pre-humans. These were not apes, but they were human beings. They were the link, and they lived in trees, had long arms, about 3 feet tall. Then about a half a million years ago came the Neanderthal. What do you think of when you hear the word Neanderthal? Huh? Comes caveman, some dumb caveman, because here's what they said. A Neanderthal had small brain, big head, powerful teeth. This is in this book. Then he went on to say that then later others became Cro-Magnon that were more and more just like us. Now, here's the question on this book. Where do they get this? Because they don't get it from the fossil records. And they don't get it from the Bible. Truth is, they don't get it. Right? So, this morning we want to look at the so-called subhumans. Where did all this come from? As we begin, we have to start before we always go. We go back to the scripture and let's look at Genesis chapter 1, the famous passage where we see that God is in Genesis chapter 1, it's the creation. And we've seen what he eat in the morning, first day, eat in the morning, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. Here we go. Verse 26. This is now the sixth day. Actually, verse 24, this is the start of the sixth day. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, beasts of the earth after their kind. Remember, we talked about kind was the species, whatever that is. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And we said that kinds were, they don't switch from one kind to another. You don't see that. You don't see cats becoming dogs. You see sometimes variations within species, but that's certainly not what we're talking, you know, what they're talking about. And then it goes on to say this in verse 26. God's word says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Now he's talking about the image of God. The our there is dealing, of course, it's plural. And he's talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All the way through this, it says, let us. And God said, and it's the plural form of God. And so we realize that the Bible's not talking about God and angels creating. If you read in other passages of the scripture, in Genesis 1 verse 2, the Holy Spirit is creating. Genesis 1 verse 1, the God the Father is creating. You go to Colossians 1, 16 and 17, Jesus Christ is the creator. You go to John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the creator. So you find out the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all there doing the creation. That's why it says, let us. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, he's talking about the likeness of God. Not talking about a physical likeness because God is a spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. John 5:24. Not talking about a physical likeness. He's talking about the spiritual aspect of a person. The soul aspect. The person that, the thing that makes a person different than an animal. He said, let us make man in our likeness. Now, notice. And let them, mankind, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God evolved man, created man. See, it doesn't say evolve. God created man. And remember we talked about the word for create. The word bara in the Hebrew means to make out of nothing. And so it says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. God created man. Now, it doesn't say anything about man coming out of some other type of animal or evolving up. It actually says man was made in the image of God. And man, when you study the scripture, what you find is God created the heavens and the earth. And the question that, you know, people always say, oh, I think they were long periods of time those days. And the question that I always raised is not, did he do it in 6 days? Because I think he did it exactly in 6 days. The question is, I wonder why he took 6 days. He could have just said, let it be, and there it is. But he did it, and we know he did that to show the pattern. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh, and that's what he wants mankind to do, is work and rest, work and rest. That's the pattern. But here he says he took, after creating all of this, and he said, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to make mankind. I'm going to put a human being on this earth, and I'm going to let this human being, I'm going to create him, and I'm going to let him have dominion over everything. He didn't say, what I'm going to do is take some animal and slowly change that animal into something that we're going to call a human being. And so when people say, oh yeah, there were Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons and all of these different things that lived millions of years ago, that's not what the Bible teaches. He didn't say he evolved man. He said man was created in the image of God. Very special creation. And you know what's amazing? That man is different than anything else. Man has... I'm sorry.
I'm just going to ask. I've talked to people before and pointed out. Yeah. And then they come back, and I think it's silly, but they come back with stuff like, you know, well, Cain, his wife, obviously had to be from another group of men that were created. How do you...
First of all, I'd say obviously she wasn't from another group of people created. I would say that the Bible doesn't say how many kids Adam and Eve had. They only deal with the ones that he's showing us. How long did they live? 900 and something years? I think that they had a lot of kids, and I think their kids had a lot of kids, and I think that's where Cain got his wife from. They all came from two people. I don't think there was Adam and Eve, and then I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to make some other people over here, and I'm going to let them do their thing, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to let this guy find a wife from over here. He didn't say that. I just think that from the population of Adam and Eve, because he only deals with Cain, Abel, and Seth as far as us knowing, because Cain and Abel are a picture of one who believed God and one who didn't believe God. That's what they are. They had all kind of other offsprings. And, when you live 900-something years, you can have a lot of babies in 900-something years. And then those babies can have a lot of babies. And, over a period of time, you got a lot of people in the whole earth. And then you got to destroy them all because they're all wicked and they'd start over at the flood and all that. But you're right. Yeah. That's a great question, and I guess I want to get into that now. I'll repeat it. She said, what about the giants in Genesis chapter 6? Were they half angels, half people? The Genesis chapter 6 talks about the sons of God had sexual relations with the daughters of men, and they produce offspring called Nephilim, which is Hebrew word for a giant, and it says there were giants in those days. There's three ways people try to take that passage. When it says sons of God had relations with daughters of men, some say that sons of God were believers and daughters of men were unbelievers. That's what some say. Some say sons of God were strong kings and daughters of men were just regular women. And none of those explain how these so-called giants came. The only other explanation that fits, and this is one that a lot of people go, are you kidding me? Is that really in the Bible? But if you go to 2 Peter in the book of Jude, it talks about angels having sexual relations with human beings and producing giants. It's 2 Peter and Jude. And so I believe that in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, the only other reference, there's only three times sons of God is used in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And every time, except if we're not going to count Genesis, every time it refers to angels. So I believe that the angels are sons of God who had sexual relations with human beings, produced half angel, half person. And they all died off in the flood. That's what I think. Some people, they say, well, where did you get that? Well, if you go to Jude, Jude and then 2 Peter, it talks about how the angels kept not their first estate but came to the earth, and God said, as God judged those angels for what they did. So, when did they come? Yeah. When were the angels? You remember when we talked about that, we said that the real question that the Bible never tells us is when did he create angels and Lucifer, and when did Lucifer, who was the son of the morning and guarded the throne of God, when did he rebel according to the Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 passage? Well, they don't necessarily go to a gap theory and say that there's the original creation and there's a big long gap in there and that's when all this other happens. You're exactly right. But you don't have to have a gap. You can have the creation of the angels and the fall before the creation of the world. You can do that. So, I don't think the Bible at all lends a gap there at all. I don't think language-wise you can have a gap. So that's why I don't take a gap. But he could have created the angels during the six-day time period. Just never tells us. And then the fall happened after the creation. He could. He just never tells us. So we don't have enough information. Yes. Well, I'm sure there is. I mean, I just don't know it off the top of my head. Something to change or evolve. Oh, yeah. If God wanted to tell us that man came from something else, the closest that he says is God took the dust of the ground and formed. And that's a little different word. That's not the same word as bara. It's a different word that means to build. And he built the man out of the dirt. And that's why he's called Adamah. Adamah means dirt. That's why his name is Adam. So, yeah, so that's the closest thing that you're going to get to anything. It's not evolved, but it says he took the dust of the ground, the dirt of the ground, and formed the man. Now, evolution teaches that the lower life forms evolved into the higher life forms, that man is at this time the highest form. Now, evolution says we're moving so slow that we're all changing now, and one of these days this will be something else. We just can't see it because it's going so slow. That's how they would say it. There was between the ape and between the man a subhuman form, a prehistoric missing link. Most have heard stories about the subhuman people, the Java man, the Neanderthal man, the Dawn man. Where do they fit in? Are they real? Let me tell you, one of the things I had trouble with as a teenager, and I never went to church, you know. Never went to church, never read the Bible. So I don't have any biblical basis. But when I was younger, I had always heard of Adam and Eve. And I believed there was an Adam and Eve. But at the same time, I was taught that there were cavemen and prehistoric, you know, people that didn't have it all together. And they were like, and so I thought, okay, now how can there be Adam and Eve, but these things too? I mean, where did Adam and Eve fit? If Adam and Eve were really the first two people, because I'd heard that, and I thought, you know, if the Bible said it, I guess that's right. Where did these cave people come in? I never could put that together. I mean, you can't put it together. Darwin says, in the evolutionary process, man evolved from the old world apes. Gorillas are man's immediate ancestors. Now, that's Darwinism. Question we could raise is, why do scientists even put this together? Why would scientists say that when you go, you know, have you ever gone to the zoo and you see the gorillas and you see baby gorillas? And people go, oh, look at them. Don't you just want to grab that little gorilla? It looks so cute. And people say, oh, look, that looks almost like a human baby. And why would scientists even put this thing together? Well, one is there's a comparative anatomy between what we call similar characteristics, arms, legs, hands. You know, sometimes gorillas look very similar to humans in some things. And then the development of the embryo, the stages. Some scientists said, if you look at the stage of a human development, you look at the stage of the embryonic development of an ape, it's very similar. So human beings came from apes. I mean, they say things like that. All researchers, some of them say things. But they're still, how does this fit? Let me say this. On the basis of a slow evolutionary process, there should be millions of connecting links. Not one. Not that we're searching all over the world to find that one link that we go, oh, there's the one that's sort of half human, half man. This is the one we've been looking for. There should be millions of them. If mankind as a group evolved up from that, then we're not talking one or two, we're talking millions. W.B. Scott, a professor at Princeton, said, after all, what we want most is not the missing link, but the whole chain, which clearly shows the descent of man. Many fossils of ape, there are many bones of man, but you know what? They never found anything that's in between. Many scientists believe in the missing links and the fact. And here's some Christians. Hugh Ross is an evolutionist and a progressive. He's an evolutionist. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's a Christian. He calls himself a progressive creationist, but I still think he's a theistic evolutionist. And he says the days were long periods of time and that there were man-like creatures. Now, here's what he says. Here's how he deals with it. He says, okay, Bible doesn't talk about this, but between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there were these and Genesis chapter 1, all of these are long, long time periods. And on the earth, for a long time, there was a subhuman thing that God created, not quite a man, not an animal, but sort of an intermediary thing. And I'm going to see what I want to quote him exactly. He said they were man-like creatures before Adam. The difference is Adam had a God awareness. These people didn't have a God awareness. They had large brains. They roamed the earth about 1 million years. He said, but they're not the same as Genesis. So he said they were sort of people on the earth, but not people. They were sort of, they were not apes, but they were not people. And it wasn't until Genesis where God came in and did something differently. Yeah, Rick. Yeah, and I'll get you. Yeah. Well, I think Hugh Ross would say that God did. He says, "How did all that fit?" Hugh Ross would say that God made a different form of sort of subhumans that existed on this earth before He decided that He would create man. I think He probably would say creation. But he would say it's long, the day age theory. But what he says is there was a different form of sort of subhuman on the earth for a while. And that's where some of these things come from. You had a question? Okay. She's asking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 lost his mind. He totally disobeyed God. Daniel was there. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar about the true God. Nebuchadnezzar said, "I made it all. I do it all. I'm in charge of my destiny." And Nebuchadnezzar went out on top of Babylon, Iraq, and stood up on that thing and said, "I have made all of this." And it says right then that God changed his mind into that of an animal for a while. And his fingernails grew for a while. And some think even it was 7 years. They're not sure because it says seven times passed over. There is in the history of Nebuchadnezzar's life and the history of that there is a time period in which nothing is mentioned of him for about 7 years. I think Daniel said, "Look, just tie him up outside and keep watching him because he's going to be okay one of these days because God says he's going to come back." And he did. So we don't know. But that's a little bit different. Now, y'all want to see some of these people? You got them on the slide? You ready for the first one? Let's go to the first one. This one is called... I can't say these names. Let's put this first one up. There it is. There's our missing link. There's Uncle John. Ramapithecus. Teeth and jaw fragments. Let me tell you, I got some things that they found. They thought this was the missing link, and they said, "Oh, it's man-like." Richard Leakey is the one that found this, but now it's known it was just a baboon. But this is what they drew. Now, see, I want you to understand. They found some teeth and a jaw fragment. The thing that always amazed me, see, I didn't know this. And I was growing up, I thought, that's what a picture. I wonder who got that picture of that guy. You know, that's what I wondered. But you know what they found? They found like three teeth and a piece of jaw right here. And they formed that out of that and say, this is what this thing looked like. Now, they do that all the time, so you just got to recognize that they didn't find a skeleton and all of this stuff and say, "Oh, that's what it looked like." So this was one of the things, but they found that best thing, it probably was a baboon, okay? Here's the next one called Lucy. This is why they drew Lucy. The skeleton was incomplete. Now, watch here. Let me give you some things. They said, okay, it's got to be, once again, Richard Leakey. They found some parts of a skeleton, but they ended up realizing that it was the face of a chimp. It was a chimpanzee. But they said, okay, this is it. We finally found what we're looking for. Now, they drew that, and you'll find that in some books that say, there is what man was like before we became completely human. Okay, let's look at the third one. The Peking man. I want to read you what I found. It was found in China. They found some teeth, lower jaw, 14 different skulls they found in an area. The brains, they could tell the brains had been eaten out. And then during World War II, they were lost and they found them again. But what they ended up, it turns out that they were just apes. They were ape skulls. But for a while, it was announced. So here's the thing that's amazing. If you watch it, they will come out with something. I heard it was about less than a year ago. I was driving home and the radio said, they have found possibly the missing link, something, and I can't even remember where it was, and they start talking about it now dates man back to 1.7 million, you know, and you want to go, and of course you never hear anything else about it because there's nothing there. They don't find it. But this turned out to be apes. But when the Peking man was found in China, they said, and that's the drawing, there is what we were like. Okay? Let's go to the fourth one. Java man. Discovered in the late 1800s. I want to read you what it says. The Java, he's called the Ape Man of Java. They found some drawings on a cave. They said immediately, this man is 500,000 years old. A man by the name of Dubo was an anthropologist. He was digging in the riverbank in Java, late 1800s. He found a tooth, a molar. 1 month later, about 3 feet from where he found the tooth, he found the top part of a skull. So he's got a little bit of a skull and one tooth. A year later, he found a thigh bone that was 50 feet away from where he found the tooth and the skull. Another month later, he found another molar. So total, four bones, 2-year period, 2 teeth, top of the skull, and a thigh bone, and that's what he drew and said, there we are, the Java man. And you say, well, how do you think that's the man? Well, that's how they had to look, because see, they weren't human. They were 500 years ago. This was the missing link. I remember reading about the Java man. I remember being taught these things when I was in, you know, because I didn't go to church. I didn't have any background on scripture or anything, but I would go in the 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, and I was taught that there were, you know, I remember the drawing. It starts with something in the water, and, well, is that the time already? Something out of the water, and it comes up, and it's some little thing, and then it becomes something else, and then it becomes sort of the monkey, and then it becomes the half person, and then before you know it, it's us. And I mean, who was taught that? Were we not taught all that? Some of you weren't taught that? Gracious. Let me give you another one. Let me say this about this guy. Scientific World made these statements. Scientific World. There's no evidence that these four bones were from the same creature. But when they made the drawings, large nose, sloped forehead, long arms, slumped over, all from these four bones. In 1895, the International Congress on Zoology in Germany said, there's no way we can do this. They found it. It had been put in a closet for 28 years, these four bones. The world was stating that the missing link had been found for 28 years. They kept talking about Java man, but the bones were missing. They finally found them in 1923, and then as they looked at it, they said it was a fraud. That it was an ordinary person. The bone that they found was just a human bone over there. They don't know what the rest of the part of the skull and the two teeth were. And so they said, that obviously is not some 500,000-year-old person. Let me give you one more, because I know that was the first bell. The Nebraska man. Now, look, contrary to a lot of thought, this is not one of the offensive linemen at the University of Nebraska. Although, sometimes the way they used to block us, we thought they were, but this is called the Nebraska man. 1920, look at that guy, doesn't look too fast, does he? Now, that's what they drew him to be like. 1922, guess what they found? A tooth. From a tooth, they drew that man and said, that's him. And the London Times ran the artist interpretation of a man and his wife. We got one tooth, but we got a wife with him. I don't know how we got all that, but the Nebraska man turned out to be a wild pig's tooth. It wasn't a human tooth at all. But can you imagine that they find a tooth and make that human being, so, well, subhuman being out of that, call him a Nebraska guy because they found it in Nebraska, and gave him a wife, and then they found out it's a pig's tooth. How much time? Well, the second bell hadn't rung yet. You want to get one more? You want to get Pilt Down Man? Let's get one more. We'll get the rest. Pilt Down Man. Look at that guy. Found in Britain. Took 40 years to realize it was a fake. I'm going to read more about this next week, but let me tell you something. They found in a gravel pit this small skull. A few years later, two more parts of a skull. Another year and a half later, part of a jawbone. And he said, okay, this is all one person. And I've got some things to read to you, but next year I'm going to show you that they found out that this guy who did this, took an ordinary skull of a human being and put it in some kind of stuff and stained it to make it look old. And for years, he was passing off the Piltdown man, and it was a fraud. He took 40 years to realize that he faked the whole thing. Toward the end, he admitted and said, this was a skull I already had. This was not anything. So I just want you to realize there's a lot of that stuff out there. Let me, I'm going to show you the two others, and we'll talk about them next week. Here's the old Heidelberg man. The Heidelberg man. Look at him. He's got an animal across his shoulder. That's how he's always drawn. Jawbone was found in 1907. Turns out this man was a human being. It's called the Heidelberg man. Let's get one more. There we are, the Neanderthal. He's, you know, because you can't think. Neanderthal has, I'm going to read this next week, but they looked at, when they first found the head or the skull, they said, ooh, very small brain capacity. And they called it Neanderthal and this and this. And do you realize that after the studies in some years past, they found out that the brain capacity of what they call Neanderthal was bigger than the average capacity of the average human being today? And so I guess we're all Neanderthals if we're going to do it that way. But there's some things there. Now what we'll do is I'm going to go back over these last two or three next week, and then we're going to get into this whole idea of the man being made in the image of God and how we are. Okay, questions? Anything? Now the thing that let me say, yeah, Rick, yeah. Darwin says we came, in his writings, that we came directly from the ape. Yeah. No, he did say that. Yeah, see, that's why it doesn't make sense. Rick says that he's a teacher, that when you read Darwin usually says that one species becomes extinct for the next one to make it. You know, it evolves up, and that species in the past goes away, and so you've got the new species. But the survival of the fittest, yeah, and descent of man. And what's amazing is there's still monkeys and apes. So what happened? Where's the in-between one? See, that obviously he would say, well, the in-between one is the one that somehow disappeared. But then the ape would have to disappear for the in-between one to disappear, for the man to appear. So it doesn't add up. I think the thing that bothers me the most is that all of this is taught as if it's true. You ever heard of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Who's ever heard of that? When my kids used to be younger and watch that, I remember seeing Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And they had a question. And the question, let me see if I can find this. The question talked about what's the oldest man. Can you go to Java? I know the bell just rang. Can you go to Java, man? The question was, where was the man found who is the oldest man? And they had a little hint about Java, so all the kids came in and said, Java man. Now, we know that was already found to be a fraud, but in Carmen Sandiego, less than 10 years ago, they're still saying there was the Java man, and he's true, when it's been proven already to be a fraud. But you'll find people who just immediately would say, well, if it's in some book somewhere, it's got to be right. I don't know if you're going to catch him or not. That's wonderful. Okay, that was the bell, right? Okay, what we'll do, and see, now that's why we, you know, that was a good picture of a mama chasing that. We could put that up on that screen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great morning. Thank you, Lord, as we look at these things, it makes us sort of mad when we realize that people, for some reason, people just don't want to let you be God and let you say what you say, and that you created us and we're unique and special and made in the image of God, and there's nothing else like us, and that you made us this way and we didn't evolve up, but you created us and gave us a soul and put inside of us the eternity in our hearts, and Lord, we're just different. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and that we can always go back to that. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to be able to understand this. And when people say things like Java man and those kind of things, at least let's know a little bit about them so that we can be able to answer logically to them about what these things were, that some of them were just hoaxes and some of them were apes and some of them were just people. So, Lord, help us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.